Acts chapter 13, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1167. Page 1167. We'll be reading verses 36 through 39, just these four verses, and we'll read the verses responsively, the 39th verse being the text verse for this morning's message. Let's all stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. And let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this good day. Thank you for all that you mean to us, for giving us this good church, for giving us our preacher, for giving us thy word. Bless the word now to our help and our strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's been many years since I've preached even a short series of sermons on a Sunday morning or Sunday night. I just hardly ever do that. It's been 15, 20 years, I guess. I teach on Wednesday night such Bible studies, a less series of lessons, but rarely ever have I preached a message or a series of messages on a Sunday morning or Sunday night. However, for the next three Sundays, unless the Holy Spirit completely surprises me, I'm going to bring a series of three messages. This morning, I'm going to preach on the subject how to sleep well, or better still, my obligation to my generation. The next Sunday morning, I'm going to speak on my obligation to the preceding generation. And the next Sunday morning, I'm going to speak on my obligation to the following generations. I want to speak this morning from that text of mine that I love so dearly. If I have a last verse for my ministry, my verse that I sign is Daniel 12:3. But if there's a verse that really controls my life, it is the 36th verse of Acts 13, which says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep." That's a marvelous passage. David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. Our text verses this morning are those three little words, fell on sleep. David is dead. It's called sleep. It is not death. It is sleep. When I'm asleep at night, my body may be still, but it's not dead. I can dream. I can think. And when a Christian dies, he's not dead. He's asleep. But it was said of David, he fell on sleep, or paraphrased it, he died peaceably. He slept well. He went to sleep and slept peaceably. Our Heavenly Father, for these next few moments, may I have the attention of all the people. And may we realize our obligation to our own generation. In Jesus' name, amen. My generation is not the same as some of you. My mother's generation is not the same as mine. And the generation of these boys that sit on the front row this morning is not the same as mine. I love my generation. I believe it's been my responsibility to serve my generation in the will of God. And in so doing, I believe one can die peaceably and sleep well. If David slept well in the grave after he had served his own generation for a lifetime in the will of God, then realizing that a day is but a microcosm of a lifetime, to rise in the morning is birth. The early morning hours are childhood. The late morning is adolescence. The noontime is middle age. The evening hours are old age. And so, if that be true, then one can sleep well at night if he's served his generation through the day. What a lovely sleep David had. Seldom had David known a good night's sleep. There was a sleep of fear in the cave of Adullam, running from Saul. There was a sleep of heartbreak when his own son had betrayed him and was leading a revolution against David and his army. There was a sleep of guilt when his hands dripped with the blood of Uriah. There was a sleep of responsibility as he held an entire kingdom on his shoulders. There was a restless sleep of worry as he watched the ruin of his own children. And there was a sleep of care as he watched over his father's flocks. But now, finally, after scarcely a restful and peaceful night of sleep, a long and varied lifetime, David sleeps peacefully. Unfilial Absalom does not now trouble his sleep. Ambitious Adonijah does not cause worry to interrupt his sleep. Jealous Saul does not frighten it. Widowed Bathsheba does not disturb it. The cave of Adullam does not dampen his rest. Wandering sheep do not now interrupt it, for David had served his own generation for the will of God, and he fell on sleep, or he sleeps peacefully and dies peacefully. Now, how can a person sleep that kind of sleep when he's dead? How can a person die peacefully and peaceably? Simply this. First, David served. Second, he served his own generation. And third, he served his own generation by the will of God. Now, how can you have peaceful sleep at night? And how can you come to the end of life's day and rest peacefully and peaceably? In the first place, ladies and gentlemen, David served. He did not damage his own generation, but he served his own generation. He did not boss his own generation. He did not antagonize his own generation. He did not rule his own generation. He did not fleece his own generation. He did not use his own generation. But David served his own generation. And that's what I want to do. In my lifetime, I want to serve my generation. I have no desire to rule you. I have no desire to boss you. You know, I want to serve you. I love that song, "Each Day I'll Do a Golden Deed," by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. While going down life's dreary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. I'll try to change his night to day, make flowers bloom along the way. Life's evening sun is sinking low, a few more days and I must go to meet the deeds which I have done, where there will be no setting sun. And it's because of them I want to do something in my generation to unstrap its load. I want to do something in my generation to heal its wounds. I want to do something in my generation to dry its tears, to garland its pathway, to enrapture its spirit, to feed its hunger, to clothe its nakedness, to comfort its bereavement, to balsam its stripes, to lighten its darkness. It is my generation. When I came here 24 years ago, I did not come to rule you. I did not come to boss you. I came to serve you. And you do not know this, but most of my life is spent serving you. When we send forth the Hiles Anderson College graduates, young men, we're not sending you forth to rule the churches of America. We're not sending you forth to conquer the deacon boards of America. We're sending you forth to serve the churches of America. And I believe this. I believe when you learn to serve, you'll be given the right to lead. And I believe when you've learned to serve, you'll be given the privilege
of having influence. When we send forth a Sunday school teacher to the classes, we enlist you as a Sunday school teacher. We do not enlist you to rule. We send you forth to serve. When we hire a staff member here at First Baptist Church, we hire you to serve. When we hire a school teacher and employ a school teacher at one of our education institutions, we employ you to serve. Look at David there. Look at him as he rests. How can one be look so peaceful in his casket? How can one rest and fall on sleep as peaceably and as peacefully as did David? Look at him there. Tis a pillowed slumber, canopied by angels' wings. Tis a peaceful sleep flowing from Mount Calvary. Tis a restful sleep on the bosom of his Savior. Tis a sleep that wealth cannot afford. His mind could not comprehend. His power could not rest. His authority could not command. His wisdom could not understand. And his knowledge could not fathom. Look at him sleep there. Here's not a sleep of one who's taking a few pills at night. Here's the sleep of one who said, in my lifetime, I'll serve. I'll serve. I'll not be satisfied with being served. I'll serve. I'll not be satisfied with receiving. I'll give. And look at him as he rests. If you want to have a restful night, you spend your day in service for your own generation. If you want to die peacefully and peaceably, then you spend your life. Oh, this old generation of ours, so warped in selfishness, so decayed and destroyed by I and me and my and mine. Let me tell you something. There's no way that you can have a restful death and a happy, peaceful death until you have served your own generation by the will of God. Look at his sleep. It has banished the last fatigue of his body. It has expelled the last worriment of his mind and has terminated the last sorrow of his soul. I'm 56 years old. I've gone to bed thousands of nights. I have gone to bed when I have fumed and couldn't sleep. I've gone to bed when I had fretted while the sun was up and I could not sleep. I've gone to bed when I commanded that I could not sleep. I've gone to bed when I enjoyed the day and could not sleep. I've gone to bed when I pleasured the day or learned during the day or received during the day or was served during the day and could not sleep. But I'm 56 years old. I had my first night ever to go to bed after having spent my day in service of others and not be able to sleep. He served his own generation by the will of God. And then he fell on sleep. When in Africa, the servant Majwara one day looked into the tent of David Livingston. He found David Livingston on his knees. He stepped back not to bother him while he was in prayer. After a season, he went and peeked in the tent again and saw the great David Livingston still on his knees. Again, he stepped back not to bother the great man of God. For the third time, he tiptoed toward the tent and saw that David Livingston was on his knees. He went over to arouse him because he had an appointment to keep, and he reached out and touched him, and he found that David Livingston was dead. The great traveler had finished his last journey, unrolled the scroll of his last continent, and died in the most profitable position known to mankind. He died on his knees. David served. Notice what else. He served his own generation. You know, Billy Sunday was a great man. Dwight Moody was a great man. Martin Luther was a great man. John Rice was a great man. Bob Jones was a great man. Lester Olav was a great man. R.G. Lee was a great man. Charles G. Finney was a great man. Sam Jones was a great man. But all of those men have one thing in common, and that is they cannot feed this generation. They cannot clothe this generation. My good friends who've lived and died and gone to the holy city there to live with Christ, they're gone. And John Rice can no longer feed a hungry body or clothe a cold body or win an unsaved soul. They're dead. They're gone. Ladies and gentlemen, it's us. This is our generation. If this generation is fed, we'll feed it. If it's clothed, we'll clothe it. If it's won to Christ, we'll win it to Christ. Our own generation. And it's high time that fundamentalists in America and many folks in this church baptized your selfishness in love and rose to live a life of service for your generation. You'll not be happy making money. You'll not be happy having fun. You'll not be happy having joy. You'll not be happy living in pleasure. You're not going to be happy, nor are you going to rest well until you serve your own generation. I cannot be eyes to Helen Keller, but I can be eyes to those blind folks that walk the aisles of this church. I cannot be cheer to Elizabeth Barrett. I cannot help blind Bartimaeus. I cannot lift the load of Billy Sunday, nor can I fight with the revolutionary forces to free America, nor can I support the hands of Charles Spurgeon or comfort a Gold Star mother from World War II. I cannot feed the hungry of the Great Depression, nor cheer the imprisoned John Bunyan. But God has given me 56 years thus far, and by His grace, I trust some more. And God has left me here for one reason, and that is to serve my own generation. I'm so tired and weary of counseling with young people who, I'm talking Hammond Baptist High School seniors. I'm so tired and weary of counseling with young people who say, I'm going to do so-and-so because I've always wanted to be in business. I'm going to do so-and-so because there's good money there. Let me tell you something. God didn't put you here to collect paper or collect gold or silver. God didn't put you here to tingle and thrill. God didn't put you here to be important. God didn't put you here to have fun. God put you here to serve your own generation. And you'll be a failure in your life when you come to face your God unless you serve your own generation. I cannot teach them, these 200 generations that have preceded me. I cannot teach them, but I can teach my generation. I cannot feed the other generation, but I can feed my generation. I cannot heal their wounds, nor soothe their sorrows, nor cease their hunger. I cannot take an offering for them, or correct their mistakes, or cheer them, or educate them, or win them, or clothe them. While I'm here for whatever years, if you want to go ahead and have your little fling and stack your money up and make money, 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 which never made anybody happy, not $1 or $10 million, everything about happy, money, 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 fun, 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 pressure, 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 you're a fool, you're a fool, you're a fool. God has placed every single one of us here to serve every single one of the rest of us while we're here to serve our own generation by the will of God. But I have a generation. I must do my best to get the gospel to it. I must do my best to feed it. I must do my best to clothe it. How many feet have you shod? How many empty stomachs have you filled? I mean this, and I want everybody to hear me. I mean this. I would be ashamed to come to a Sunday service. I would be ashamed to come to a Sunday service without having placed food in somebody's hungry stomach during the week. Yes, your question. What have you done for your generation this week? Answer yourself. What have you done? Young people, as you seek your life's work, you ought to have one great consuming thing, and that is, I have a generation. And I've got to choose a life's work that'll serve my generation. Years ago, in Boston Harbor, many years ago, I think it's been now probably 45 years ago, out in the harbor, and every time I fly into Boston, as I will, God willing, tomorrow, as I fly into Boston, come down across the harbor, the airport right there on the water, I think of this story. About 40 years ago, a ship in Boston Harbor suddenly began to sink, and it was filled with people. Numbers of folks came to safety, but there were hundreds of people that were drowning. A young man on shore, teenage lad on shore, took off his coat and swam out to the ship. He took a body and put it on his shoulder and best he could. He swam back to shore and saved that one's life. Without any time to rest or garner himself or gather his energy, he went out again and swam to the ship and got a second and put that second on his own body and brought the second to safety. Again, he went and got a third. And again, his friends kept saying, man, you're going to kill yourself. You're going to drown. You can't do this all day. Again, he went and got the fifth. And again, the sixth and the seventh and eighth and ninth and tenth, 11th and 12th and 13th and 14th and 15th and 16th and 17th. And finally, he fell exhausted on the shore after having saved 17 people from drowning. And as he went into his unconscious state, the newspaper said, he looked up and he asked the people one question. Did I do my best? Did I do my best? Now, I'm not concerned this morning how much money I leave my family when I'm gone. I'm not concerned this morning how much many times I've laughed on my journey. I'm not concerned this morning how much popularity or power or fame. I have one concern, and that is I want to do my best while I'm serving my own generation by the will of God. He served his own generation. But you say, preacher, I'm just a little housewife, a little mother. So was Susanna Wesley. But you say, I'm just a Sunday school teacher. That's all I am. Let me tell you something. I cannot tell you anything more important than you're giving your life to serving four or five little boys or girls while you teach a Sunday school class. You're serving your generation. How selfish we are. How self-centered we are. How egocentric we are. He served his own generation. And then, how can we rest? Well, he served his own generation by the will of God. I've always wanted to be. Christians should never say that. I think I'd like to be. That's heathen talk. I've always wanted to have. That's pagan language. Let me tell you something. From that young man that sits up there in the corner to that lady that sits up in the corner up here, from that young man back there in that corner to that usher back there in that corner, every single person in this room has, when you were born, God had pre-designed a plan for your life. I'm not talking to preachers only. I'm talking to laymen. I'm talking to high school seniors. I am grieved. About the carnal, selfish, materialistic attitude of our high school students. You have no right to choose your own way. You have no right to do your own plan. God Almighty has a plan for your life. Before you were born, He had that plan, and it's your job to find it and follow it. I'm concerned about some of you folks that deliberately take a job and get transferred to another city because your company says move. I'll go where you want me to go, Old Sears Roebuck. I'll say what you want me to say, Montgomery Ward. I'll do what you want me to do, Inland Steel. No, sir. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do by the will of God. Who cares anymore about the will of God? That's for a few high school folks and a few college preachers to find the will of God. Let me serve notice on you. 117 deacons in this room will be searching the will of God for their lives. 804 Sunday school teachers ought to be searching the will of God for their lives. Every choir member, every member of the church or of the family of God. Our one consuming passion ought to be, where does God want me to be and what does God want me to do? He served his own generation by the will of God. Last night late, I was reading a book. I try to read half a dozen books a week. I don't always succeed. But I try to read four, five, six books a week. Some small, some large, but I read constantly. I read far more than you. No student here does more outside reading than this preacher does. And what you better do is you better thank God for outside reading instead of griping about it. I was reading last night. I was reading something about somebody who had been to the Mamertine prison in Rome. And as I drove home last night, I entered that prison with the apostle. And I saw that little steps that go down into that little dungeon. No natural light, no light at all. Maybe there was the light of a candle, I do not know. And then in the middle of that dungeon, little room, I guess about as round as this, maybe a little round of this little place over here. I'm going to guess the room. Maybe. It may be 12, 14 feet in diameter. I do not know. And right in the middle of that room, there's a hole like they used to have, may still do, at a fire station. When you slide, go through a little round hole, slide down about the side of a manhole. They dropped the worst prisoners down in the bottom, in the dungeon, the seepy, damp dungeon. And there's somebody who'd been to the city of Rome. Picture. Remember that place? I once again relived my first visit to that place and stopped to realize that down in the dungeon there, without any heat, without any warmth, without any light, the aged apostle wrote such words as rejoice evermore. He wrote such words as my God shall supply all your needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He wrote, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He wrote, I rejoice in persecution. And I can see him as he takes out his quill. And as he gets the parchment and begins to write, best he could. He had to write big letters because he was almost blind. He wrote with a large handwriting. And I can see him with some improvised light as he's in the dungeon there. And he says, the time of my departure is at hand. And I hear somebody as they come and say, Paul, come with me. Paul knows what it is. He knows through the nighttime hours the sword of the guillotine has been sharpened. He has a 3-mile walk to that guillotine. How could he walk 3 miles? I don't know. His body racked by pain. His mind racked by loneliness. But his heart racked with the peace of God. And I see him as he walks. Tenth of a mile, a half a mile. He knows in just a few moments the head that is on his shoulders will roll like a football field at kickoff time. And he keeps walking. And there it is before him. There's the river on one side. His head sticks out between the blades of the guillotine. And they fasten his body there. And I say, Paul, what do you got to say? And Paul said, read what I wrote in the jail. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul, how can you say that? Paul said, I finished the course. I finished the course. I wish I could grab everybody in this room and shake reality into your head. I wish I could shake the selfishness out of you. I wish I could shake the I, me, my, mine, us, we. I wish I could shake out of you the sensuality and the materialism and the hunger for money and fame and popularity and prestige and power and make you realize God someday is going to look at you and you will stand face to face with your Maker and the only thing that will matter. Did you finish the course? David's gone. His white hair rests on his shoulders. His brow that once was so beautiful, the singer, sweet singer of Israel, is now furrowed by the imprint of the claws of eternity and time. His shoulders at once were so straight in war are stooped and bent. Those fingers that had played the harp and brought tranquility to disturbed royalty. I folded across his chest, and they're knotted, and that those lips are parched that had sung, and the face is furrowed and wrinkled. But there's a peaceful look about him. He rests well. He sleeps well. Why? He served his own generation by the will of God. And to whatever extent you can say that when you're gone will be the exact extent of the success of your life. What better Sunday than Easter Sunday to decide to serve your generation by the will of God? It's not enough for you to put on your Easter bonnet and come to church on a Sunday morning and come for an hour or two and sit here and go home and put up your religion and put it in the closet and hang it up and don't do it and do nothing about it for another year. That's not pleasing with God Almighty. God wants you 365 days a year to serve. To serve your own generation and to do it in the will of God. Father, bless, I pray, the truth that's gone across.